Amen. Matthew chapter number 23. We will endeavor to go through part one of this. Unless you got a few hours, we can get through both parts. Amen. After we get about 15 minutes into this, some are going to say, please stop. Yeehaw. Matthew chapter number 23, one verse of scripture, verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Amen. And so the Lord puts his blessing and his emphasis and his sticker of approval and his authority upon all things. One was to pay tithe of the mint and the anise and the cumin, and the other was to have law, judgment, mercy, and faith. One of these days I'll teach on law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Tonight we're going to talk about the blessings of tithing. But what we're going to do is, this is going to be in defense of. We are apostolic, Pentecostal. We're Pentecostal in experience, apostolic in doctrine. A young man asked me, he's not a young man, he's my age. He's a young man. Young man asked me today, he said, what denomination? He asked me first, he said, what denominator are you? he said, that's not right. What am I looking for? I said, denomination. He said, yeah, what denomination are you? I said, I'm Pentecostal. He said, oh, okay. Amen. And that's what we're going to teach tonight, in defense of the financial responsibility in God's kingdom. You could title it that. In defense of the old paths. In defense of tithes and offering, in defense of, you put it in there, but this is where we're going today. Praise God. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you and appreciate you. God, we give you praise. We give you thanks for your many blessings upon us. God, we are standing here today as an example of your many blessings. I pray, God, that you would help us here today. I pray, Jesus, that the Word and the Spirit, Lord Jesus, would meet tonight. Congregate in this place today. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let revelation, understanding, God, come unto us today so that you would be able to bless us. We praise you and we pray, we magnify your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you begin to talk about people's money, people start getting tight. Amen. They start getting quiet. And except for those that understand and have been blessed, and then they can amen the loudest because that they understand and that they have been blessed because of it. I am looking at people in this congregation here tonight that listening to your former pastor talk about where you came from and about the first days of your life with God, and you didn't have anything and probably couldn't rub two pennies or two nickels together, but God has been good to you. God has been good to you, and you've been faithful to God, and God has been faithful to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to discuss this today. Amen. This ought not to be a theme. It ought not to be a subject where people get tight and quiet on it. This is we're going to get into, as we get into this, you're going to realize that this is truly a blessing of God. To be able to invest into his kingdom. You're not going to invest into any 401k. You're not going to invest into any stock, any CD, anything, period, and come away with the blessings, the dividends that you can by investing into the kingdom of God. Praise God. You will never be able to outgive God. You say, well, I gave a lot of money and I didn't get any money back. You know what? You've got the world. If you make heaven your home, number one, you've been blessed. But God's not going to be held in debt to anybody. And some of us, you have your family in the house of God. And your kids have gotten the Holy Ghost. And they're living for God. And you got grandkids that are living for God. And just because that you don't doesn't mean that you have been unfaithful to God. But I'm just simply saying that there are so many ways that God can bless us. But you must understand that God is probably, well, no, not probably. God is, I was just having a little bit of hesitation to acquaint our God to this low standard. God is the best accountant in the world. Amen. And God keeps good records. God keeps good records. And so let's start off in Malachi chapter number 3. And Brother Wirtz used Brother Micah the other day to read. And so I'll just call him up here and have him bring his Bible and he can come up here and read, because we got a lot of scripture tonight. A whole lot of scripture. So we're going to the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 8. And this is where everybody goes when they begin to talk about tithing and offerings. And so this is where we will start here tonight. Go ahead. Malachi 3, 8 through 12.
Will a man rob God?
Will a man rob God?
Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you?
How did we do that?
In tithes and offerings.
All right. He said, you've robbed me in tithing and offerings. Now, we're not going to talk about offerings tonight. We're going to talk about that another day. But he said that you have robbed me in tithing and in offerings. Read.
Ye are cursed with a curse.
Now, you've robbed me, and so, therefore, you are cursed. We're going to get into the curses here in a little bit. He said, but you've robbed me, therefore you are cursed. Read.
For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse.
Now, this is how you're supposed to do it. He said, bring all the tithe into the television or the televangelistic hotline, website, donation, tag, click this button, PayPal, right over to the televangelist, right over to this. Is that what he said?
No.
No, he said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse.
Right.
This is our storehouse right here.
Yeah.
Amen. This is our storehouse right here. If you're attending this church, this is your storehouse. Amen. You say, well, that's pretty cocky. Just call the televangelist when you need prayer then. Amen. If you're given to all of these websites and all of these other things and putting your money in on all of these other churches that don't need your money and such like that, and given to them and such like that, then you give them a call when you need somebody to come pray for you. You give them a call when you need somebody to take care of you, to help you, help you financially, help you spiritually, help your kids and all that. No, this is our storehouse. Right here. And so he said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that
there may be meat in mine house.
So that there will be meat in his house.
And prove me now herewith.
All right, let's talk about that. He said, prove me now herewith. He said, that there may be meat in my house. Now, Paul told, Paul wrote in one of his epistles, I think he was writing to one of his young ministers, and he told him, he said, you know, you have need of the word. And he said, you have need of meat. He said, but you can't take it. And so you need milk, but you're in need of meat. And so the meat is the preached word of God. And obviously, as we get into this, there are things that we understand, there are things that we already know, but just so that in a sense that we're just here. But the tithing, amen, is the financial part of the ministry. And it's not just necessarily a tithe, and we're gonna discuss it in general, but it's not just necessarily tied to the pastor. But it pays for a lot of different things. It pays for other ministers to come in and revival to be had and such like that. I pay my tithe into that account. I'm a pastor, but I pay my tithe into the revival account. And so that's tithing going into there to take care of the ministry in there. Amen. But that's so that we can have the preached word of God come forth. The preached word that is able to save us. The preached word that is able to keep us. The preached word that's able to shake us and to get a hold of us when we're not doing what we need to be doing. It brings conviction upon us. The preached word that'll get a hold of our children. Amen. And bring our children to an altar and save our families. Amen. The preached word, amen, that'll generate faith within inside of us so that we can be pleasing unto God. Amen. The Lord said, muzzle not the ox that treads out the corn. And so without getting into all of that, the Lord is basically saying that if you're not going to take care of the ministry, then He's not going to take care of you. Because He said, you're cursed. You're cursed. And there's no blessings that can come upon you. So He said, now bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, saith the Lord. And prove me now herewith, how did He say it?
If I will not
open up the windows of heaven
and pour you out
a blessing,
that there shall not be room. Enough to receive it.
Yeah.
And I will rebuke the devourer
for
your sake.
All right. So He said, when you do what you are supposed to do. Now what He is saying is, you know what? There are times that it's going to be tight.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into this here in a little bit. Amen. But it is a step of faith to give unto God's kingdom when it looks like you need every red cent to pay the bills. And somewhere or another, you got to get that faith. You got to get that obedience factor in you that says, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. You know, Uncle Sam doesn't ask about his portion. He just takes it. Yeah. And God doesn't take His portion. You give His portion back unto Him. And if you don't give His portion back unto Him, then you're a robber. All right. So He said, try me. In other words, you're going to have to step out by faith and you're going to have to give. You're going to have to do it. And He said, and when you do it, I will not be beholden unto you. He said, try me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that there would not be room enough to be able to receive it. I've got people in this place here tonight that you can raise your hand and testify and say, not only has God been good to me, but God has done more for me than I ever could have imagined that God would do for me. Amen. You've got a testimony about the pennies that you used to give in the tithing. Amen. Which equated to 10%. Amen. Of your income. But you did it by faith. And God opened the windows up and began to pour out raise after promotion after promotion upon you. Amen. God blessed you with homes. God blessed you with vehicles. God bless you with all kinds of things. He said, go ahead and try me. Amen. But I'm not going to be indebted to you. Go ahead and see if I will not pour out a blessing upon you that there would not be room enough to receive it. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tithing and offerings can be a sticky point for some, but if we realize the blessings that are associated with this, then we will never think twice about giving and when we give and even how much that we give. Amen. Because if you do not give, then the Lord cannot bless you. And as He said, you are cursed with a curse. Now, many individuals can testify that are not even saved. that can testify that God pours blessings out upon faithful givers. Let me read some testimonies that I found here today. J.L. Kraft, anybody know who that is? Yeah, he's the one that has Kraft cheese. What a poor guy, huh? This is what he said. J.L. Kraft, the founder of Kraft Foods and a very wealthy man, consistently paid tithe throughout his entire career. He said, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I have given unto the Lord." Peter Marshall once said, "Give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving." Now, I know you don't know this guy, J.D. Rockefeller. Would you believe that J.D. Rockefeller paid tithe? You know, back in the day, tithing was just the accepted thing. Everybody paid tithe. Today, nobody pays tithe. You go to church and they say, it's not tithing, it's a donation. I'm sorry, this isn't a donation. Amen. The offering is a donation. The tithing belongs to God. But this is what J.D. Rockefeller said. He said, and I quote, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week." So these are people that don't even have the truth, but yet they got a revelation about it. They got a revelation that as they invest into the kingdom of God, God gives unto them. God does not start at the wallet or at the the pocketbook. Amen. But giving starts at the altar. Giving is an outflow of a life that is consecrated wholly to God. The scriptures teach us that a person's giving reveals the location of his heart, as in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. And so as we read in Malachi 3:8, he said, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, and you have said, how did we do it? And I'm telling you that you did it in tithing and in offerings, and therefore you are cursed with a curse." Amen. They had robbed God of their tithe and their offerings. All right, let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 18, and we're going to be reading at verse number 20. Numbers chapter number 18, reading verses 20 through 26. Go ahead, read.
"And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land."
All right, so here's what God is saying. Now, there are 12 tribes. And he said that 11 of these tribes are going to divvy up the land, and they're each going to have an inheritance. But he said to the Levites, he said unto Aaron, "You're not going to have an inheritance in their land. You're not going to have an inheritance in their land." All right, read.
"Neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel."
All right, so God said, "I'm the part." They're going to inherit other things, but I am the part of the inheritance here. And he said, I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel." Read.
"And behold, I have given the children of Levi."
All right, so now he establishes who he is, and it's simply this: the boss. He is the boss. And he said, "I have given the children of Israel," or the children of Levi, read,
All the tenth in Israel. For an inheritance.
All right? So he said, "I am their inheritance. You're paying your tithe unto me. And I am going to give the children of Israel all the tenth or the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. Now, it is important to understand that tithe is paid unto God. All right? It's paid unto God. Some people say, well, I ain't paying my tithe because I don't like that preacher. You got a wrong concept. Because you're not paying it unto, you're not paying it unto the preacher. You're paying it unto God. When you pay your tithe, you're giving unto God. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the preacher. It belongs to God. All right? Let's go to, first of all, let me just say that right here. Tithe is paid unto God, and he's the boss. He's the boss. All right? God is in charge of the ministry. He pays the ministry lest the people would feel that they have a say-so over the man of God. Just think in general about all of these other denominations and such that's out there. Who rules the preacher? The church does, not God. The church rules him. And if they don't like him, they fire him. They get rid of him. Why? Because they are the ones that write his check. All right, this is not the way that God established or deemed it to be. That's not the way that he designed it to be. God said, look, the ministry is mine, all right? He said, you can't touch them. They're mine. That would be like you walking in and assaulting a McDonald's employee. Okay, you're going to get sued because that's not your employee. All right, now if McDonald's assaults them, they're going to get sued too. But you understand, you can't just do that because you're not the boss. So that's what God's saying. Look, I'm in charge of the Levites. I'll take care of them. All right? Here's your opportunity to be blessed. You invest into my kingdom. If you invest into my kingdom, I'm going to pour out a blessing upon you, and you're not going to have room enough to receive it. It doesn't matter what these people back here do. You're giving to me. I'm blessing you. You're giving to me, all right? Now, that's like your boss giving you a paycheck and telling you, all right, now here's what you're going to do with that paycheck. You're going to buy so much food. You're going to buy so much utilities. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. You cannot buy any clothes. You can't buy this. You can't buy that. This is what you have to do every red cent. You would say, it ain't your money anymore. You've given it to me. It's mine. I work for it. It's mine. I'm going to do what I want to with it. All right? Yeah. So when you give your money, when you give your tithe unto the Lord, it's the Lord's. He does what he's going to do with it. And then he pours out a blessing upon you. And then he said, look, I'm going to take care of this. You are giving unto me. I'm blessing you. And then I'm going to take care of the ministry. They're mine. They're mine. All right? So that's the way that it is set up. And then God pays the ministry. Amen. I'll just tell you right now that I have seen God take care of the ministry way too many times, to the good and to the bad. I'd rather take a whipping, amen, from a regular employer than to take a whipping from God. Amen. I witnessed one pastor that God had talked to him and told him that he needed to preach thus and thus and thus. And he would not do it. And he kept putting it off, and he kept putting it off. And this was his testimony to me. And he said, I didn't do it. I watched that man's health go downhill. It just went downhill, 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 because he would not do it. The second that he said, okay, God, stood up and preached what God had told him to preach, all of a sudden, boom, his health came back up. All right? And I'm not saying that just because that a man's health goes down, well, there's obviously something wrong with him. That's not the case. I'm simply saying God knows how to take care of business. All right? All right, and that's God. You can't sit there from the bleachers, from the stadium seats, and begin to critique God's business. That's between him and God. We've seen pastors that's died of cancer. We've seen pastors that's died in car wrecks. We've seen pastors, amen, that their health has went down. And it doesn't mean a thing. But I'm telling you, when God wants to get his business done and wants to get somebody's attention, he knows how to do it. He's done that with the saints of God just as well. All right? We got to move on or we ain't ever going to get done. So God is in charge of the ministry. He pays the ministry, lest the people feel that they have a say-so over the man of God. And I've had individuals that come to me and said, "Oh, Pastor, I feel so bad. I didn't give my tithe. I forgot it at home or whatever." And they're doing it as they have slighted me. You haven't slighted me. It's God. You're paying unto God. You're paying unto God. We pastored a church in California for a little while, and it was tough. It was tough. Every preacher's got to go through those days, and it was tough. And and there were times that all we had to eat was beans and cornbread, and then the next day we just had beans and cornbread. And my kids thought that was pretty cool for a few days. And after a few days, they didn't think it was so fun anymore. That's all we could afford. But let me tell you how God takes care of the ministry. One time, we were just struggling. I walked out to the mailbox, and there's a check in the mailbox, $1,500 from a pastor in a little bitty town in Louisiana that if I told you about it, you'd have to go ask Google where it was. And she might not even know. But $1,500, a couple thousand miles away. God said, "Hey, that's my ministry over here. I need to take care of him. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to write a check, and I want you to do it, and I want you to send it over here." He's like, "God, I don't have an address of where to send it." He said, "Ask, I'll get it for you." So he asked a couple of questions, got the address, and he sent me a check. That's God. That's the way that God does things. There was another time, I think it was when we was having beans and cornbread. And we didn't have anything to eat. We were just eating beans and cornbread. And we was on, I don't even know, day three, something like that. Day four, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, my phone rings. And so I answer the phone, and it's one of the saints in the church. And so I just sound chipper. It's like, "Hey, brother, how are you doing?" "Oh, doing well. Are you at home?" Well, we lived in the church. He said, "Are you at home?" And I said, "Oh, yes, sir, we're at home." And we can't afford to go anywhere. And yes, sir, we're at home. And he's like, "All right." He said, "Come out here in the courtyard. I got something for you." I said, "Okay." I was excited about this. And there was another time I wasn't so excited about. But I was like, "Oh, okay." And so I went outside, and he has loads of groceries. Just bags of groceries. He said, "You know," he said, "my wife and I were out doing some shopping." He said, "And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to buy your pastor a deal of groceries." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "So we just loaded everything up." He said, "I don't know if you like some of this or don't like any of this." He said, "But we just got a bunch of groceries and brought it to you." Bags and bags and bags of groceries. But that's the way that God does it. God takes care of these things. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to verse number 22, Numbers 18:22. Just skip on down there.
"Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear the iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel..."
The tithe of the children of Israel.
"...which they offer as an heave offering..."
"Which they offer as a heave offering..."
"...unto the Lord..."
"Yes."
"...I have given to the Levites..."
Jesus said, God said, "I have given this to the Levites..."
"...to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe."
All right, so God required tithe of the Levites too. He said, "I'm giving you this." And then he said, "And you shall take offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe." And so the Levites were to tithe to the priest. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 26. And we're going to get into the concept and the reason of tithing here. Deuteronomy chapter number 26, and we'll just read through this. Some of it we may skip, some of it we may not. Let's start at verse number 1.
And it shall be.
When
thou art coming unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein.
All right, when you get to the land of Canaan, read.
That thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth.
You're going to take of the first of all the fruit of the earth.
Which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket.
You're going to put it in a basket.
And shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name
there. And you're going to the storehouse.
And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days.
All right, you're where he put his name at, and you're going to go to the priest in those days. Now, he said that the first fruits is the tithing. In other words, tithing needs to be taken care of first. Not after the bills are paid, if there is enough, but it is first. Amen. When you do this, then God is able to bless everything that remains. You remember that little example that we used a few months ago? We had 10 people up here, and we paid out first, and then we gave our tithe, and this is all that God had left to bless. And then we did it the other way, when we paid our tithe first, and then God has more to bless. And I understand that God can bless in health, and God can bless, but the reason that you didn't pay your tithe is because you needed blessed in the financial department. Amen. So if you learn to pay your tithe there, then God will bless in the financial department. All right, let's read on verse number 3.
And say unto him, I profess this day.
All right, you're going to the priest and you're going to tell the priest, I confess this day
unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket.
Then the priest is going to take the basket out of his hand
and set it down before
the altar. Set it down before the altar of
the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great and mighty. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and lay us up on bondage.
All right. So here's what's going on. We're going to continue to read in a little bit. But here's what's going on. You bring in your tithe unto the Lord. And you're bringing it up to the priest. And the priest is going to take it. And he is going to wave it before the Lord. But he's going to set it down and you're going to testify. And you're going to say, my forefathers, were just Syrians perishing. And they went down into Egypt, because you never go up to Egypt. You go down. Egypt is sin. You go down. And here we were. We went down into sin. And there we thought that everything was going to be great. But it turned into a fiasco. And there we were slaves and we were in bondage. And we were worked extremely hard. And then we had a deliverer that came and brought us out of the land of Egypt. And we're not slaves anymore. We've got all of these blessings upon us. And this is the first fruit of the blessings that God has given unto us. So what you're doing when you pay your tithe is you're saying, hey, I still remember where I used to be. I used to be broken. I used to be busted. I used to be in a world of sin. And you may have been a millionaire in a world of sin. Amen. But you were a pauper, even if you were a millionaire. Because you did exactly what the devil wanted you to do. Amen. You did it when he told you he wanted you to do it. And you spent your money on alcohol. And you spent your money on drugs. And you spent your money on all kinds of things. And whether you had a ton of money or whether you had no money, you were a servant of the master of the gods of this world. But when God saved you, when God brought you out of the land of Egypt. And God began to bless you. And first of all, God gave you a right mind. And you began to think right. Because you were messed up in your thinking. You were messed up in your actions. You were messed up. Don't tell me you weren't messed up. Amen. This entire world is messed up. Amen. They think that fornication is okay. They think that adultery is okay. They think that drugs are okay. They think that all of these other things are okay. They're messed up in their mind. But when God saved you, and when God brought you out of that, amen, God began to set your feet on the right path. Amen. God began to bless the little things in your life. You began to think right and began to get things in order. And you heard the word of God. Amen. You came into the house of God, and the meat was delivered unto you, and you began to get some sustenance. And so when you pay your tithe, you are saying, hey, I remember where God brought me from. I remember those days in Egypt. I remember when I used to do whatever the devil told me that I was going to have to do, but I'm not in bondage anymore. That little tithing slip that you have, when you bring it for the Lord, that's your ticket out of bondage. You're waving it unto God and saying, hey, I'm not in bondage anymore. I'm not living in sin anymore. I'm not tied to the things of this world anymore. I've been set free. God has set me free from the things of this world. Amen, amen. People go back into the world because they forget where God brought them from. They forget, amen. All of a sudden, they don't remember Egypt as the cruel taskmaster anymore. All of a sudden, they don't remember Egypt as bondage anymore. They don't remember the whips being laid across their back. They don't remember being told when to get up and to go to bed. They don't remember being told how much, amen, straw they were going to collect, and how much bricks they were going to make. They don't remember, amen, the enemy telling that slave master telling them how much that they were going to eat and how hungry that they were. Amen. They don't remember living in the pig pens. They don't remember eating the pig slop. Amen. Because that they live frivolously in the world. Amen. But as long as you remember where God brought you from, you got a chance of being okay. And every time you pay tithe, you've got one of two ways to pay it. And say, well, here it is. That's what I'm supposed to give. Amen. Or you bring it before the Lord and you say, I remember one day I was a Syrian on my way down into Egypt, but God stepped in and he set me free and he's blessed me, and this is the first fruits of the blessing. Praise God. Sin is never your friend. Sin's going to treat you hard. God requires 10%. Sin is never satisfied, requiring all of your money. Amen. Everything that it can get from you. Amen. The price of salvation. Praise God. The Bible says that God's yoke is easy. It is a yoke, but it is easy. And he said that his burdens, they are burdens, but they are light. But yet the Bible said that the way of the transgressor is hard. It's cruel. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to verse number 7. Read.
And when we cried unto the Lord,
we cried out unto the Lord.
The Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt.
He brought us out of Egypt.
And with an outstretched arm.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
And with great terrible.
He came in and kicked the doors open.
And with signs and with wonders.
God hears the sinner when he prays. God hears that individual when they begin to cry out, God, I'm tired of living in Egypt. God, is there any hope? If there's a God out there, do you hear me? Do you know where I am? That was your prayer one day and one time, and God stepped in. Amen, amen. You don't even know where God came from. He was on the backside of a desert, amen, in a burning bush talking to a man. Amen, God's got a way of providing a way. You cried out for a deliverance, somebody came knocking at your door. You cried out for a deliverer, amen, and somebody met you at the grocery store. You cried out for a deliverer and your neighbor began to witness to you. You cried out for a deliverer and somehow or another God showed up in the most mysterious way. And next thing you know, you got God sitting at your table as a Bible study is being taught to you. Amen. Next thing you know, you're visiting a little church. And the next thing that you know, God's setting you free from a world of sin, paying the price for your sins, washing you in the waters of baptism, putting his name upon you, clothing you with his holiness and his righteousness. God has been good to you. Praise God. Amen, amen. You don't come out of sin by shaking the preacher's hand. You don't come out of sin by signing a membership card. But you come out of sin by dying to sin. Amen. It's not easy, but it's a great terribleness. Amen. And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, he does so with signs and wonders. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. We are now new creatures. Amen. And it is a wonder. Amen. That's what he said. He brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness. You didn't come to this altar in a pretty thing. You had tears running down your face. Mascara smeared across your face. Amen. Snot coming out your nose. It was a terrible picture. You were being set free from the bondage of sin. And when God delivered you, there were signs and wonders. You began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Joy came upon you. Amen. Amen. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory with many signs and wonders. God did a great thing in your life. Let's love him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse number 9. Let's read a little bit more about what God did.
And he hath brought us into this
place. Yeah. You didn't come because you decided to. You didn't come because you thought to yourself, oh, that's a nice little church. I think I'll just go there. And Bible said that no man can come unto the Lord except that his spirit would draw them. And God said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. God drew you unto this place. Read.
And hath given us this land, and even the land that floweth with milk and honey.
And blessings have been bestowed upon you. Read.
And now behold, I have brought the first
fruit. And here I am, and I'm bringing my tithe. I'm just bringing the first fruit of the blessings of God. Now you may not have a whole lot at this point in time, but you got to learn the concept. Rockefeller said, I couldn't pay my first $1 million in tithe except for that I learned how to pay my first tithing on $1.50. See, $1.50 don't go far. But when you got a revelation, you got a revelation. And he paid tithe on that $1.50, and God began to bless and began to bless and began to bless and began to bless. And all of a sudden, he's paying $1 million tithe. I wish somebody in Augusta would get that revelation. I got a church I need to build. Oh, let's read.
First fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me.
Now here he said, God, you've done this. This isn't because I worked harder. This isn't because I worked smarter. This was because, God, you did this. Your hand was on this. You gave me the job. Somebody said, well, I already have the job. God put you in favor. God gave you favor with your employer. God gave you favor with your bosses. God gave you favor with who you needed favor with. Yes. Amen. And God began to bless it. Read.
And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship.
And worship. You're going to come, you're going to set it before the Lord, your God, and you are going to worship. Praise God. Somebody paid their tithe today. I'm going to use it. He said, so you got your tithe. You're coming to the house of God. He said, oh God, thank you for delivering me, for bringing me out of the land of Egypt. And you're going to come and you're going to put your tithe. And you're going to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't have much to worship God for. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got a whole lot to worship God for. Amen. If your family is saved, you got more to worship God for. Your children have got the Holy Ghost. You got a whole lot to worship God for. You've got a lot to be thankful and to worship God for. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, 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 amen. He said, you're going to bring it unto the Lord. Amen. You give it and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. Verse 11, read.
And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing.
You're going to rejoice in every good thing.
Which the Lord thy God hath given
unto
thee. And unto thine house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that is among
thee. Everybody's going to get joy. Everybody's going to worship. I'm telling you, when it's offering time, that ought to put a smile upon your face. Amen, amen. If it's just, just got to go give some money, then you're probably not going to have a smile upon your face. But when you understand, amen, the broker is signaling that it's time to buy. Amen, the offering is signal is given. It's time to give into the offering. I've got my offering, and I'm bringing it unto the Lord. And here comes so-and-so down. Amen, brother, worse I can just imagine. The first time that Brother Deontay and Sister Melissa brought their tithe down, after you sitting there, house on the floor teaching them a Bible study, but they got a concept of giving, and here they come down with their tithing, and when they put it into the offering plate, there's Brother Worth rejoicing. Amen, because he knows somebody's getting the understanding, somebody's getting a revelation. And then Brother Deontay just a few months ago says, I just got a testimony. God has blessed my family with multiple raises, and God has been good to us, and the whole church is rejoicing, and the whole church is being thankful. And then just a few Sundays ago, little Maya's up here at the front with her hands raised, and she's receiving the Holy Ghost, and the whole church is rejoicing. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. It's not about giving some money. It's about saying, God, your kingdom is awesome. Your kingdom does great things. Your kingdom brings people out of poverty, out of sin, and set souls free. Your kingdom is fabulous. You're going to say, I have brought the first fruits. Nobody met you at the door and pulled a gun and stuck it to your head and say, honey, I think you need to stop by the tithing station right there and go ahead and fill one out. And you start filling that out and they're sitting there looking over your shoulder. That's not what you made. Nobody made you do that. Nobody made you do that. First few times it may have been a little bit hard. But when you get the revelation, and you begin to write it out, and you begin to think, you know what? It wasn't but a few years ago, and oh, we were so hurting. We were so strapped. But God has been good. Look at what has changed here. And you bring it back before the Lord again. You say, but nobody made me do this. Amen. Nobody's going to make you pay your tithe. If you want to be cursed, keep it. But if you want to be blessed, give it unto the Lord. And be thankful where God has brought you from. I need to get a little bit plainer. If you want to be lost, keep it. But if you want to be saved, amen, you need to start giving it. Amen. But God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Don't be saying, amen, with no. Amen. You taking that thing and you're saying, hey, God, I just want to say thank you. I still remember where you brought me from. I'm still thankful, amen, of all the many blessings that you have provided for me. When we give our tithe and our offering, it's time to worship and to rejoice. Praise God. Amen. And you know, I could get a little picky. I could get a little picky and say, you know what? You know, some of you, you know, you're coming up here and you're giving your offering and you're tithing before church ever starts. And I understand. I understand. You know, because some of you are on the platform and such. And I understand that. But in general, amen. I mean, how would you feel if you was a sinner, a guest, and you come into this church, and the service leader says, we come to an awesome time to give unto the Lord. We're going to bring our tithing and our offering unto the Lord, and we're going to bless the Lord. God has blessed us with this opportunity to give. And all the saints sit there. And here's the sinner, and they already pulled a 20 out, and they're like, wow, nobody's giving? One person gave? I'm not saying you got to give every service. I understand all these things. I understand all these things. But this is the concept of it. It's not just coming up there and dropping it off and saying, I did my deed. You're missing it. When you pay your tithe, you're saying, God, I remember and thank you. I just want to say thank you again. Amen. All right, let's read on.
When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite.
That means you're supposed to give three times the amount on the third year.
And hath given it to the Levite.
I'm just kidding. I just see if somebody was listening. Go ahead.
The Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and they may eat within thy gate and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God.
All right, you're going to talk to God some more.
I have brought away the hallowed things of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away out thereof for any unclean use, nor given out thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from the holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us. And thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart, and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God.
All right, you have avouched the Lord?
This day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this
and
day.
And the Lord hath avouched you.
To be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments.
Now that word avouch means to declare. And so he said, you declared the Lord this day to be your God. And then in verse number 18, he said, and the Lord hath declared you this day to be his peculiar people. All of this happens at offering time. God, I'm bringing this to you because you're God. You did this. Nobody else did this. I know I worked hard to do it, but I could have worked just as hard as McDonald's and made just a fraction of this. You did this, God. You're the reason that I have these blessings upon me. It's because of you. You did this, God. You're God. You're my God. And God said, and you're my people. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, verse number 19.
And to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made thee, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and get Deuteronomy chapter number 28. But in the book of Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 15, the Bible said, thou shalt keep the feast of the unleavened bread, and thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee, in the time at the appointment or the appointed of the month of Abib, for in it thou camest out of Egypt. none shall appear before me empty. And so he said, do not come before the Lord your God empty. Because when you come before the Lord your God empty, you're not remembering where he brought you from. And there's a danger that you fall back. God has tied tithing and offerings directly with our redemption. Directly with our redemption. Amen. So when you withhold your tithing and your offerings, you're not very thankful unto the Lord for what God has done for you. Amen. He did it. He tied it directly with our redemption. Remember where he brought you from. Remember when he brought you from that. Amen. You do this when you give. All right? Moving quickly here, we're going to talk here for just a second. Deuteronomy chapter number 28, verse number 38. Go ahead, read that.
Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it.
All right. Now let's go down to verse number 47, first and 38. He said, you took a whole lot of seed out into the field, but you only gathered a little bit because the locust consumed it. What did verse number 47 say?
Because thou servedst not the Lord thy God with joyfulness.
Because the whole reason that all of this happened is because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and
with gladness of heart.
Uh-huh.
For the abundance of all things.
God loves a cheerful giver. All right? So he said, look, he said, I blessed everything. You took a lot of seed. You took all of this seed out, and you went and you planted it all, and then the time for harvest comes in, and you don't get very much in return. And he said, and the reason that you did not get very much in return is because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with the gladness of heart. Man, I gotta go to church again. I tell you what, I'd stay home, but I think that preacher would call me and find out where I was, what I was doing. I'd stay home, but some of the saints, nosy, they'd be calling me, where were you at? Oh, we missed you. You didn't miss me. Now you're going to take all that seed out into the field and you're going to sow it, and you're not going to bring very much in because you didn't serve the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. All right? And so there are blessings and there are curses that are tied in with this. And so I want you to know as we get into Deuteronomy 28 here, and we're going to go through this one, that there are much more that goes with the curses of disobedience than the blessings of obedience. Yeah. And this is heartbreaking. Amen. Amen. But let's just take a look at this. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And we're gonna read the blessings of obedience. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 9. Read.
And it shall come to pass.
It's going to come to pass.
If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord.
If you're obedient to the voice of God.
To observe and to do all his commandments.
To do all of his commandments.
Which I commanded thee
this day.
Which
he commanded you.
That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations.
All right, he's going to set you on high above all nations.
Of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And all these blessings shall come on thee.
All of these blessings are going to come on you and
overtake thee.
And overtake you.
If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
That's a big word right there. If you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. All right, verse number 3.
Blessed thou shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Yes.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep.
All right, let's just stop right there. I got a testimony. So he said, blessed. Now, all of these things are blessed by God. Some of these things may seem a little bit trivial to some, but to others, it matters a whole lot. And he said, the fruit of your body is going to be blessed. The fruit of the ground is going to be blessed. The fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Many, many years ago, back in 2009, I preached a very, very similar message in Nevada. Brother Newman had asked me to come and to teach on tithing and offerings. And so I went and I taught on it. And we had a phenomenal time. But there was a man that didn't necessarily make his entire living working with cattle, but made a good portion. He needed this. And so he had paid some good money to have his heifer's bread. And so anyways, they're with, you know, calves and getting ready to have some calves. And so he's going out daily and he's checking on them. Nothing happens. And he told Brother Newman, he said, I needed two calves from each mom to be able to do financially what I needed to do. And so first mom had two calves. And so he saw that and he said, oh, that's great. Well, the second mom only had one. And so when he went out that day, he looked and he was so disheartened. And he's just like, wasn't going to be able to do what he needed to do. And so he's like, God, and he told Brother Newman this. He said, I just talked to God. He said, God, I heard that message the other day, and you said that if I would be obedient, that you would bless my kind, you would bless the fruit of my cattle. God, I needed you to bless this. I needed you to touch this. I needed you to do this, God. You know where I'm at. God, I need this. And he walked away. So he got home later that day, and he got to talking to his wife, and his wife said something about the two brand new baby calves. And he said, well, that's what we had hoped for, was two. He said, there's only one. She said, no, there's two. He said, no. He said, I went out there this morning, and I checked and everything. He said, she only had one. She said, well, then you didn't see everything. She said, there's two. He said, no way. She said, yeah. She said, there's four calves out there now. So he ran back out there going, and sure enough, there's four baby calves out there. And he's just like, thank you, God. Somebody says, you know what? God doesn't care. God cares about everything. Yeah. Cares about everything. And if he said that he would do it, then he's going to do it. He said, I'll bless the fruit. How did he say that? He said, I'm going to bless... I'm going to bless the fruit of your body. I'm going to bless the fruit of the ground. I'm going to bless the fruit of the cattle, the increase of your kine and the flocks of the sheep. Verse number 5, read.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Woo! Praise God. We're going to stop right there. He said, blessed shall be thy basket. Does anybody remember where the tithing goes? It go into the basket. Amen. You're bringing your basket. Bringing your basket unto the Lord. And here you come. Now, we put everything in, but this white envelope is a basket. And you're bringing your basket to the Lord. So answer me this question. If your basket is blessed, what happened? Something else got blessed. Because the only way that this goes up is that God blesses something else. And all of a sudden you're used to writing that old check number, and that was so consistent. And then all of a sudden the blessings come and God blesses the basket. And all of a sudden you smile and you look and you shake your head and you say, God, you've been good, because this tithing check is a lot more. You have blessed my basket. And he said, and I blessed your store. Woo! Praise God. Where's the store? He said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Amen. So your basket is blessed and the church is blessed. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the way that God does things. Let's read.
The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face.
All right, first of all, he said, you're going to be blessed when you come in. You're going to be blessed when you go out. And I'm going to cause your enemies to... that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. Read.
And
they shall come out against thee.
They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee.
They're
going to
come at you one way, but when I'm done with them, they're going to be fleeing seven different ways. What does he say next?
The Lord shall command thee blessing upon thee in thy storehouse.
Uh-huh.
And in all that thou settest thine hand unto.
Everything that you set your hand to, God is going to bless.
And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways.
All right, so he said, this is all that's going to happen. When you are obedient unto God, the Lord is going to set you high above all the nations. Yeah. He's going to bless your city, bless your field, bless the fruit of your body, bless the fruit of the ground, bless the fruit of the cattle, increase of thy kine, or the ox, the increase of your sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, blessed shalt thou be in the store, blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. Your enemies coming in one way, going to flee before you seven ways. When God smites them right in front of your face, the Lord's going to command blessing upon you in the storehouse, and all that you set your hand to, the Lord is going to bless you in the land that he gives you. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people. The Lord shall open up unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land and to his season. He shall bless the work of your hands. He shall lend. You shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. There's no need for it. You shall be the head and not the tail. You're going to be from above and not beneath. And those are all the things that God said. Look, this is all that you have to do. If you will be obedient, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing upon you. All you've got to do is just be obedient with the little things. And when you be obedient with the little things, amen, God will give you bigger things. And when you're obedient with the bigger things, amen, God's still dumping boatloads of blessings out upon you. Amen. And God's blessing you. And before you know it, you got more to be a blessing about. Amen. You got more in your basket. And when your basket comes in, amen, you're blessed in the basket. And you give it unto the Lord and the storehouse is blessed. Amen. And the oxen are blessed. The ministry is blessed. Everybody is blessed. I'm telling you, church, we're living in the land of blessing. We're living in the land of abundance. Amen. You could take a look at all of this, and none of it makes sense. But God has blessed this church, and God has taken the finances of this church, and God has given you jobs that you didn't even qualify for. Amen. God has given you jobs, amen, that you didn't even think that you would make that much money with. But God has blessed you, and God has given you favor, and it's one thing after another, after another, after another. You say, preacher, I haven't gotten mine yet. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Your time is coming. He said, and it shall come to pass. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do it. You just got to be obedient. Twenty-two blessings. Now, you can go ahead and stand. I'm going to read to you the rest of that chapter. The Cliff Notes. The edited version. It's 22 blessings. But it's 54 curses. And he starts off and he says, if you don't do this, you can't outgive God. You're not going to outsqueeze him either. He said, if you don't do this, you're going to be cursed in the city. You're going to be cursed in the field. You're going to be cursed in your basket. In other words, you're going to lose money. You're going to be cursed in the store. You're going to be cursed in the first fruit, with the first fruit of the land. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Cursed shall be the increase of thy kine. Cursed shall be the increase of thy sheep. Cursed when you come in. Cursed when you go out. The Lord shall send cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. The pestilence shall cleave unto you. The Lord shall smite you with consumption, a fever and inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until you perish. The heaven above shall be brass, the earth beneath shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. The Lord shall curse thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way with them and flee seven different ways. Thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite you when the with the botch, with boils of Egypt, with emrods and scabs, with the itch whereof you cannot be healed. The Lord shall smite you with madness, with blindness and astonishment of heart. You shall always be in want, groping at noonday, just as the blind grope in the darkness. You shall not prosper and only be oppressed and spoiled. No man shall save you. You shall marry a woman, but another man shall take her unto himself. You will build a house, but you won't live in it. You'll plant vineyards, but you won't partake of them. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you won't eat thereof. Your donkey shall be taken away before you, and shall not be restored unto you. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto other people, and you shall have no might to get them back. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall not be purchased by any others, and you will be oppressed and crushed always. You shall be mad because of what you see. The Lord shall smite you in the knees and the legs with a sore inflammation which cannot be healed. The Lord is going to give you unto slavery to serving strange gods. Ye shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among other nations. You shall carry much seed in the field and gather but little, because the locusts are going to eat it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you're not going to partake of them, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout the coast, but you're never going to anoint yourself with oil of the tree, because the fruit is going to cast forth, amen, the tree is going to cast forth its fruit before its time. You shall have sons and daughters, but you won't enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All the trees and the fruit of the land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is with thee shall be exalted very high, but you shall be brought very low. He shall lend unto you, but you shall not lend unto him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake till thou be destroyed, because you would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments. You will serve the enemy who will put the yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. You will serve your enemy. The Lord will send a nation against you, and ye shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you are destroyed. They will not leave you any corn, wine, or oil, or increase of your kind, or your flocks until you have been destroyed. The enemy shall besiege you in the gates until your high and fenced walls in which you trusted come down. You shall eat of the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters. The Lord shall bring you every disease of Egypt upon you. The Lord will bring every plague and disease which is not written in the books upon you until you are consumed. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will fear day and night. The Lord shall bring you into Egypt to be sold as bondmen and bondwomen, but no man shall buy you. I think I'll just be obedient and take the blessings. But I think some people have ordered this and supersized it. But there is a desire of God to bless. And some of us may be looking at things and saying, you know what? Some of those curses, I'm feeling those curses. Let me just say, the devil's going to try to stick his nose in every chance that he gets. And there's only one calf instead of two. But what you can do is you can bring your record before the Lord. And you can say, God, my record is on high, and I have been obedient unto you. And the devil is trying to cause condemnation, anxiety, and all of these other things to come upon me. But your word said that if I would, you would. And God, I did. And God, I'm just going to stand right there. And that's as far as I'm going to go, because you said, try me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he said, and I, the Lord your God, will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The devourer is going to try to come. The devourer is going to try to get you to pull away from God. The devourer is going to try to get you to be disobedient unto God. The devourer is going to try to work his way into your life, into your finances, into your health, into these things. And you've just got to stand upon the word of God and say, God, I've been obedient in all things. And if this is my lot and this is my cause, then so be as I'm still going to worship you. But if not, devil, you're fixing to have a bad day. Devil, you're going to wish you would have never come around. Because when God is through with you, hey man, I'm going to be the head and you're going to be the tail. I'm going to be from above and you're going to be from beneath. You're going to borrow from me and I'm not going to be borrowing from you. Because God is in control of all things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I rebuke that lying spirit, amen, that wants to, amen, to try to steal your victory and steal your blessing and steal your joy by telling you that this little envelope doesn't matter, by telling you that your basket is just simply a donation that you can just do. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Amen. Why? Because he knows that when God's blessings are upon you, it's going to be super hard to get you. But when his blessings are not upon you, then his curses are going to be upon you, an everlasting curse, and the devil's going to sit around and laugh. Oh yeah, he wants to minimize the basket. He wants to belittle the basket. He wants to say there's no deal with the basket. Amen. But friend, you've got power in the basket. You've got power with the first fruits. Hey, I still remember where God brought me from. Oh, let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You can't outgive the Lord.
Oh, yes.
He will multiply it on